So Father, we're just so grateful that we can gather together like this to praise you, to worship you, to exalt you, to magnify you, to lift up your holy name, Lord. What a mighty God we serve. And Father, we are just so grateful and thankful that you are such a loving God. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you don't change, that you are so reliable. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise this morning and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So, folks, this is a Christmas message, but it's going to be a bit of a Christmas message with a difference. So I'm not going to focus too much about Christmassy stuff, but I want to dig into some of the scriptures that we might share this time of the year and really unpack, you know, what we see in the Word. So I've titled today's message, The Good News About Christmas. Tell the person next to you that Christmas is good news. Really good news. Let me just read a portion of scripture. I'm reading from Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, it says, In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So, obviously, we see there's a situation. They want to have a census. They want to count people. That's really what it is. And this was the first registration of Quirinius, whatever that guy's name is. You know, there's certain names that get your tongue tangled. And that is one of them. This guy, who was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. So Mary's pregnant. They're going to get registered. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth. Swaddling cloth is really just strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. Why did she lay him in a manger? It says, because there was no place for them in the inn. So they must have got to this place. They thought, well, you know, let's just check into the inn. There's just no space. And obviously the innkeepers must have checked it out and said, listen, you know, this lady is about to give birth, and all we can offer you is a stable. And they said, you know, if it's okay with you, you know, you can go ahead and actually use that place. Anyway, it says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord, not the angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Now, you know, whenever we stand here and we preach about fear, we talk about the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is a reverential fear of God. That is where we look to God, we see His awesomeness, you know, how incredible our God is. And it's a reverential respect of God. It's not where you are frightened. Here, it says, and they were filled with fear, they were scared. An angel appeared to them. They were not only scared, they were terrified. And it says, and the angel said to them, he says, hey, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy and will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So obviously the objective is that the angel appeared and they need to go, because you're going to find this baby. This is what you need to look out for. So there is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in a manger, in a stable. And suddenly there was with the angel, it was one angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Isn't that a wonderful story as we just get the picture there? Now, folks, we're talking about the reasons why Christmas is good news. One of the reasons right here is that it banishes fear. It banishes fear. We need to be a people that ensure that we do not walk in fear. I want to speak a little bit about this morning because, you know, God is love. If ever you try to find a definition of God in the Word of God, it would be that God is love. Is that right? So God is love, and God's Word says that perfect love casts out fear. And when you and I get born again, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. So we have God living on the inside of us. And one thing is for sure, folks, we should not be a people that experience fear and walk in fear and anxiety and all of these sort of things. So receive the gift of God's Son. And when we do receive God's gift to mankind, fear should go. And I'm saying we should question ourselves. If you're a person that kind of is full of fear and continually in that space, there's an incredible gift that God has for you, because we do not have to walk in this thing. It says in verse 10, and the angel said to them, "Fear not." Do you think that was an instruction or a suggestion? I'm sure this angel was instructing them, saying, "Hey, fear not. For behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Right? And folks, this thing of fear, you know that the fear is probably the most crippling emotion that a person can ever experience. And it has to be dealt with as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is crippling. You know, when soldiers are out and they're involved in battle, they're out to war, they can become totally paralyzed because of fear. Even to the point where a young man wants to go out and ask a young lady out for a cup of coffee, right? Fear. They just don't do it. And one of the big problems is that it even stops believers in the Lord Jesus Christ from stepping out and going out there into this lost and dying world and telling unbelievers about this mighty, mighty Jesus that we serve. We just don't want to do it because we are fearful. I want to ask you a question. How many times do you think that the Bible tells us not to fear or fear not? Take a guess. 5? 10? 20? A 100? Folks, more than 300 times in the Word of God does God's Word instruct you and instruct me to fear not, to not be fearful. And when God says something over 300 times to us, we need to know that this is important, right? It's really important. So we should not be a people that walk in fear. You know, Jesus said this in Luke 12, verse 6. He says, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies?" You know, that means that each sparrow is worth less than a penny. And then he said, "And not one of them, not one of those sparrows that is worth less than a penny is forgotten before God." God remembers every one of them. Then Jesus said, "Why? Even the hairs on your head are numbered." The hairs, do you know the number of hairs that you got on your head? No, you don't. But God does. And I know God is looking at, you know, at some of you guys here this morning and say, "At least I don't have to count so much anymore, eh, Johan?" He's looking at you and he said, "Gee, Johan, I remember when you used to play for the Springboks. Eh? You had lots. I used to spend a bit of time. It would take me a bit of while to count them. But not anymore." But God knows how many hairs are on your head. "For why even the hairs on your head are all numbered?" And then Jesus says, "Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows." So he said that, and not one of them, not one sparrow is forgotten before God. So folks, basically what Jesus is saying right here is that we are of great value. We are of great value to our Heavenly Father. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 it says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Some translations say a sound mind. But folks, what we see right there, it's quite interesting because fear is a spirit. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have authority over these things. We have authority over spirits. So that's why I'm saying that if you are in a situation where you feel, you know, fearful in a lot of situations that you find yourself in, that thing needs to be dealt with so that you can walk in this freedom. Right? God wants fear out of your life. God wants fear out of my life. Why? Because he just loves you and he cares for you and he wants the best for you. In fact, it says, is this working? Is it? Right? I'm just finding I'm starting to shout. Hey, listen, talking about that, if you ever see me as one of those shouting preachers, please come and tap me on the shoulder and say, "Hey, slow down." All right? All right. But in fact, in 1 John 4:18 it says, "There is no fear in love. No fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear." And remember, like I said, God is love. And when you and I get born again, we have God living on the inside of us. So you cannot have fear and love and perfect love in the same place. Is that true? If perfect love casts out fear, you know, it's like darkness and light. That light will, you know, you light up, put a light into a dark place, that darkness flees. It's exactly the same in terms of God's love, or love, just love and fear. So Jesus came, folks, to set us free. He came to make sure that we are free. Particularly in this area, we need to make sure that we are free. The word is so clear, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And this angel, when this angel came along, he brought good news. And the good news is that we don't have to fear. Tell the person next to you, "I don't have to fear." So what we need to be doing is receiving this gift from God, right? From God today. And this gift that God has for you and that he has for me today has a name. And the name of this gift is "No More Fear in My Life." Amen. Tell the person next to you, I've received a gift. And the gift that I have has a name. And the name of this gift is "No Fear in My Life." Amen. Amen. Right? So folks, this is a wonderful, wonderful Christmas present that we are able to receive from our Heavenly Father. And let's make sure that we receive it, that there is no fear in our lives. The next thing why Christmas is good news is that it brings great joy. Verse 10 says, "And the angel said to them, I bring you good news and great joy." Now, it doesn't say great happiness. Am I right? It says great joy. Folks, happiness is an emotion. Happiness comes and happiness goes. You can be happy right now because you've just eaten some mince pies, right? And then you look up and then the speaker's buzzing and then you're not happy. Is that true? That's just the way it is. So happiness is an emotion, folks, but joy is not an emotion. Joy is what we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this joy endures forever. You can experience joy through trials and tribulations in life, but the joy of the Lord is your strength in all of this. So we need to embrace it, right? The joy of the Lord is us. You know, I was thinking about this too. Do you remember the story when Mary went to go and visit Elizabeth? Remember that story? Now, Elizabeth, who is she? She is the mother of John the Baptist. the mother of John the Baptist. And when Mary went there, the word of God said that John the Baptist actually kind of leapt for joy in his mother's womb. Is that true? And that tells us something else, folks, that there is life right there. With John the Baptist in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he leapt for joy. And he was in his mother's womb, you know, about to be kind of enter the world in a couple of months' time after that. So one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Sorry, Phil, but I thought I'd just mention to you. The fruits of the Spirit in our children's... I won't go there. But I trust that there's going to be joy on the wall as well. Right. So folks, this joy that we're speaking about is really a gift from the Lord. It's a gift from the Lord. And we receive His joy as a gift when we receive Jesus, that is God's gift to mankind. You cannot, right? Listen here. Unbelievers cannot have joy. Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And unbelievers do not have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of them. So they experience happiness, but they can never experience the type of joy that you and I can experience. Right? And of course, this is another reason why Christmas is such good news. But there's more. There's more. Sounds like a very Mark ad, hey? Remember those ads? And there's more. Folks, Christmas is good news because it is for everyone. Everyone. Jesus is for everyone. Everyone. The Lord, God wants every single person saved. No matter what they've got involved in, no matter what false religions and all these sort of things, God loves the person. And God wants to see each and every single one of His creation receive His only begotten Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as their personal Lord and Savior. God wants everybody to receive salvation. Verse 10 says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy,'" then he says, "that will be for all the people." All the people. So folks, this good news about Jesus is for everyone. This good news about Jesus is for green people, pink people, black people, white people, yellow people, orange people. You go on and on. This is for everyone, right? And it's regardless of your age, of your gender, of your heart, of your education level, and that list can go on as well. It is for everyone. Everyone. God wants to see heaven populated. And the gift of Jesus to us from God is good news. And it is really for everyone. Right? But, isn't this incredible? There's a but there. It's like, you know, like a billy goat. You know, but. But not everyone wants to receive that gift. Not everyone wants to receive that gift. You know, God has given us, when He created us with a free will. And so that we can choose. So we either choose to receive God's free gift to mankind, or we choose to reject God's free gift to mankind. So there's a choice right there. And the interesting thing about this is that we have all, you know, people say, "Yeah, but you got more faith than me, you know, to believe in Jesus." According to Scripture, we have all been given the measure of faith. Go and do a study on that. That's amazing. It's as if God has gone to each and every single person and given each one of us a meter of faith. And it is now up to you and I what we're going to do with that meter. Right? Then Christmas is good news. Because it is for you and me. Verse 11 says, "For unto you," Raul, "unto you," this is personal. Don, "unto you," personal, "is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It is God's Christmas present, folks. Personal Christmas present to you and to me. God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son to me. This is how personal it is. So we need to personalize this. We really do. He sent His only Son as a gift for me. Isn't that incredible? Okay. So if I choose now to receive His gift to me, I will not perish, but have eternal life in His presence. I have to decide. This is a personal thing. And we have to ask the question, you know, have you received God's gift to you? Have you? Right? Will you be spending eternity in the presence of a loving God? Will you be? You know, I knew, funny enough, when, before I got born again, I'd heard about this stuff. You know, I think I told you my story. I wasn't a churchy person. I did go to a couple of funerals growing up. And probably that was it. No church, right? But I'd heard that God died for us. Us, all of us. But then I got a revelation of the fact that He died for me. And I chose to make Him my personal Lord and Savior when I had a real understanding of this. Have you received Him, folks? Really received Him as your Lord and Savior? Jesus died for you. Bill, He died for you, right? And it's also interesting, you know, that salvation comes to individuals. Is that true? Right? In fact, it comes to your own door. Comes to your own door, to individuals. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, this was a revelation that John had on the Isle of Patmos, right? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus knocking at the door of our heart. "I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Right? Folks, we've got a choice to make right there, because I can tell you now, Jesus is knocking at the door of the heart of every single person on planet Earth. We have to choose to let him in. Right? He will not continue, you know, he will continue knocking gently like this, but he's not going to knock the door down. He's not going to break the door down, even though he loves you so much and that he wants to spend eternity, or wants us to spend eternity with him. Amazing love that he has for us. But he will not break that door down. That is a decision that we have to do. We have to choose to open the door of our heart and invite him in. And then finally, Christmas is good news because it's all about a Savior. Huh? It's all about a Savior. You know what? Have you ever, you know, at home, you might have experienced this. If you are having a plumbing problem at home, you need a? Yeah, you need a plumber. You got it right. Gee, this is a smart church, I'm telling you. Okay. And if you have a car problem at home, you need a? Say that again. This is incredible. Yes, we need a mechanic, right? And if you have an electrical problem at home, you need a? You got it right, electrician. And if you have a sin problem, you need a Savior. And let's be honest, the truth is that we all need a Savior. And guess what? This is exactly what God has sent to us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever puts their trust in him, receives him, will have eternal life." Right? So he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus who is Savior. He sent Jesus who is Lord. He sent Jesus who is Christ. He sent Jesus who is the King of Kings. He sent Jesus, who is the Lord of Lords. He sent Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. That's what God did. Jesus, He sent, who is the Savior of the world. So folks, we've had a look at, you know, some of the reasons why Christmas is good news. But we then need to make a decision as believers in Jesus. And the decision is that we have to make sure that we keep Christ in Christmas. We have to keep Christ in Christmas. Huh? In all that we do. If we are purchasing a gift for somebody, we need to remember why we are doing it. Keeping Christ in Christmas. If we are sitting around with family, having a family meal together, we need to remember why we're doing it and making sure that we are remember Him and we keep Christ in Christmas. I tell you, I find there's nothing more offensive than walking through the shopping center, Eastgate, and I see Christmas, C-H-R-I-S-T. The C-H-R-I-S-T is removed, and in place they put an X, and they call it Xmas. I don't know what Xmas is. Taking Christ out of Christmas, doing whatever they can. They want the party, they want the whatever, the kind of vibe and the, I don't know, the or presents or gifts, I don't know what. But we take the Christ out of Christmas, and in actual fact, all we are left with is mess. Mess. That's what happens. I hope you enjoy your mess. Folks, let's do that. Let's keep the Christ in Christmas. Christmas is all about Christ, who really is God's gift to mankind. Amen? That's what He is. Jesus, God's gift to mankind. Praise the Lord, eh?